Dear Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit might help us to understand the very word that your Spirit inspired. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning and to speak with you. And it's good to support Wayne in his professional development and ministry of teaching and preaching and training in Mongolia. It's a great privilege, isn't it, really, as a parish that you have to do that. So it's terrific to fill in for him, if I can put it that way, this morning. And lovely to meet Rhys as well. So we had a good time, managed to get through the 8 o'clock service together. He nudged me along in the right directions. You know, bishops get lost in these sorts of things. So that's great to actually have a college student who knows what he's doing, which is good. So it's just great to be here with you all this morning. And thank you, Mike, for that great presentation about mission. What a joy. And what a lovely, especially really appreciated the final words you read to us, you know, sort of bringing it together so beautifully as Pastor Mabongi thanked you all and thank God. Thank Beck for all that's been done over in his community through your generosity and that lovely prayer of thanksgiving. So, you know, congratulations. It's just terrific to celebrate that that with you all. It really is. So when Wayne was talking to me, I suggested a theme of thankfulness. Thankfulness to God for all of God's goodness. So it couldn't have come. Mike and I were talking at the break, actually, between the two services, how we organise these things separately. But there seems to be somebody who's bringing it all together. It's, I think it's the Holy Spirit. We like to think it's the Holy Spirit doing that. And just lovely the way this has been brought together. So we're very grateful to God for his goodness to us. The passage that I thought I'd have a bit of a look at with you initially is the story of Jesus when he meets the 10 lepers. And it's one of those wonderful encounters or meetings of Jesus where he meets different people. And I love going through the Gospels and just reading of these different meetings and seeing the way that he engages with people so creatively and beautifully and brings out the very best in people and sometimes gives a bit of a clip over the ears to those who haven't got the program quite right in their minds at the moment. And here we have this wonderful encounter where Jesus is walking along and these 10 lepers are walking along on at a distance, obviously, with leprosy being contagious and everything. And so there they are. They're kept in isolation from the rest of the community. But they see Jesus. And so they call out to him, you know, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus simply says to them, well, go and show yourselves to the priests, because the priests are the ones who, if you are healed of leprosy, they're sort of like your GP certificate of, you know, good health or whatever. So you need the GP to sign off on this. So that's what the priest did. And so Jesus, you know, sometimes he did other things when he healed people, didn't he? He sort of spat on his hands and rubbed a bit of something in their eyes and, you know, laid his hands on them and other things. And I'm sure it was all worthwhile, but it sounded a bit more gruesome. But here he simply says, you know, go and show yourself to the priests. And so these 10 troopers obviously had heard about him. They called out to him, Master Jesus. And so they simply obeyed what God wanted them to do. I'm sure that God gets very happy when we do what he wants us to do. And as they were going, wonderfully, beautifully, marvellously, they were healed. And their deformities and their staggering along with their weak limbs and everything, they were wonderfully healed. And this was just fantastic. They knew the GP was going to sign off on this. The priest was going to say, yep, that's right. They're allowed back into the community. They can have a new life. A new life back in the community. They can get jobs, work, engage with people. They can go to weddings and funerals and all sorts of other things, celebrations now. They can be part of the community. And we're told that they're all cleansed, but only one of them turned back to thank the person who obviously had healed them. They'd called out, Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he had. Somehow through this Jesus, Master, God had acted and they had been healed. And so one of them went running back to Jesus, and he threw himself, fell at Jesus' feet, but said, so this was no sort of, shake your hand, thank you very much, vicar, nice sermon today, the door, you know, and off you go. This was, you know, very passionate, threw himself at Jesus' feet, praised God, and he thanked him. He thanked him. This was a fulsome thing. He knew that his life had been radically changed. It was different now. This was a new moment in his life. And so there we are with him. And says, and now he was a Samaritan. He was an outsider. He wasn't a member of BAC. Believe that? He wasn't a member of BAC. And yet God acted in his life. Extraordinary, isn't it, really? God does that. God does do it. And he continues to do it. It's wonderful. And so again we have Jesus in a sense saying, sometimes, you know, the outsiders get it better than we do. It's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes they see things that perhaps we in the body of Christ, we become accustomed to some things perhaps. And perhaps we take things for granted. Perhaps we don't thank God in the way that we ought to. But this outsider, he thanked God. He thanked Jesus for what had happened. He presented his thanks. And then Jesus, I think, asked one of the most haunting questions in Scripture. And what Jesus says? He says that we're not 10 cleansed. And the haunting question, where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? You see, it's not just the arithmetic, the 1 and the 9, but it's for all of us, isn't it? Am I in the 1? Please, dear God, and through your Holy Spirit, help me to be the 1. Or could we be in the 9? That we see God do things, that God acts and God does things, and then we just keep going. We don't stop, fall at the Lord's feet in humility, praise him and thank him for his goodness to us. We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? And so this is a question for us, isn't it? To work with. I remember in Gaylene and I were... I'm sorry, I've got something. I haven't got what you've got. You've got a cough. I've got a mouth that gets dry. I don't know why. Maybe if we took a bit of each of our bodies, we could make one of us or something. I'm not sure. Would that work? So pardon me for that. When I was in terms of giving thanks, Gaylene and I were missionaries with CMS for 9 years, from 1979 to 1988 in Argentina, in South America. And we were there during the years of the so-called Dirty War in Argentina, where over 30,000 people disappeared, and it was a terrible time. And during these times, it was difficult to meet. I was a university chaplain at the University of Buenos Aires, and then later on I was the national advisor throughout Argentina to the university groups. At that time, most of the people, I was in my early 30s, and most of the people my age had been killed or had gone into exile if they were involved with universities, and many faculty had died as been killed as well. It was a very difficult time. And there were small groups that we tried to meet together in of confidence. And one of the small groups was a group of graduates from university, and I was with them, and we'd share and we'd have times of prayer and support for one another. And one of the lawyers there, she had, over time in this group, she had become a Christian. And she shared that during her university years to pay for her fees at university, she'd sold her body in prostitution, and that's how she had paid her university fees. But she said, gracias a Dios, thank God that she'd met Jesus and that she'd become a Christian, and that the Holy Spirit had empowered her to change her life. And in reflecting further, she commented this, and I wrote it down in Spanish, but this isn't it. You know, the thing that really makes me angry with Christians is their whinging. They complain about this and that. They live as if God doesn't exist. They're dull clods. Their God is not the God who's transformed me. She gives thanks to God that she met Jesus and that Jesus changed her life and transformed her life. And one of the things that she struggled with was Christian people who could not see what God was doing and complained about the things that God apparently wasn't doing, but failed to give thanks to God for the things that God was clearly doing. And it was a profound moment in the life of that group and in my life as she said that. Do we live as if God exists? Paul takes, interestingly, in Romans 1, when you read, the book of Romans, in Romans 1, the second half of chapter 1 of Romans, Paul puts, in a sense, he agrees, you see, with the Buenos Aires lawyer, which is probably a good thing. I suppose a Buenos Aires lawyer agrees with Paul, actually. But so that Paul says, well, he says what the gospel is in Romans 16 to 20. It talks about the gospel of grace and Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, you know why things go wrong, don't you? And he says this, for what can be known about God is plain to people because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. So they're without excuse. I was standing here this morning, and when the sermon gets a bit dull, I mean, it's wonderful, isn't it, really? Isn't this a wonderful place? I think it's great. It's a great challenge for a preacher, I can tell you, right? How to stop? I see you. Oh, yes. I see the eyes drifting, you know. I see the eyes drifting. And so we look out, don't we? And I said, you know, that's sort of like Berwick out there, isn't it, really? The beautiful trees and the gardens and the lawns, it's wonderful, isn't it? So you come to church every Sunday at Berwick Anglican Church to see Berwick. I mean, I think it's just lovely, really. And Paul's saying, you can see God in creation, surely. Surely there's a creator. Look at the beauty. You can look out there now. That's okay. I'll give you permission. It's fine. So you can see the beauty, but you know what happens? For though they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him. For though they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. Therefore God gave them up to the lusts of their minds, of their hearts, to impurity, to the degrading of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature instead of the creature instead of the creator. Verse 21, for though they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him. You see, there are very tragic consequences of not giving thanks to God, not recognising who God is and who made us, who put us here, what God is doing. Do we live as if God exists? Do we live as if God exists? Do we recognise God's work in our lives, God's work in other people's lives as well? Do we see that? And, of course, Jesus' next question was no one found to turn back and praise God except this foreigner? Well, we've mentioned that. In thankfulness, we're to praise God. And then, of course, Jesus said to the man, arise and go. Well, you can imagine how he went, can't you? I mean, he wouldn't go, oh, gee, you know, what a hard day I've had. He'd go jumping and skipping and praising the Lord and be telling everybody about it, wouldn't he? They said, I think I recognise you, except you used to crawl a lot and you had a pretty wobbly walk and you'd lost half your fingers and your nose sort of wasn't all there, but I think it's you, Fred, isn't it? I think it is. And he'd say, yes, me. Let me tell you what happened. I want to tell you about this bloke. Just wonderful. This master, this Lord, this Jesus. Look what he said. Lord, have mercy on them. And look, God has. God has transformed my life. He said, you can just imagine him. Do you think you'd ever be able to shut him up? I don't think so. I think sometimes I shut up too much. I think there are times when I should be thanking God and letting people know of the way in which God has changed our lives. We're really grateful to God for the work he's done in our lives. I think, like many missionaries, that when we go overseas, I was 32 and my beautiful bride was 31 at the time, and we went across there, and Gaylin says that we grew up in Argentina. We saw things in a way that I would never have asked to have seen. And we experienced things, and we were with people who went through things that I would never ask to have seen. But because we did, the Holy Spirit kept us going when we were at our wit's end. The Holy Spirit kept us going and has done deep things in our lives. And I thank God for that. Before I mention the other service, that your regional bishop at the moment is the new bishop in Melbourne, Bishop Paul Barker, is also a former CMS missionary. So I'm not sure what it is about former CMS missionaries becoming bishops or anything, but maybe some of us grew up. And so we learned to trust God and to depend on God. And we're still learning, aren't we? That's why we're here today, learning together as the body of Christ, learning how to thank God and how to walk together in Christ. So I'm sure he went on his way overflowing with gratitude. And Jesus was thankful. Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi that we read just before, Paul gives thanks to God for them. Paul's letters are full of thanks. Jesus, you might remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead, that his prayer to God was, "Father, I thank you," in John 11, 38. "Father, I thank you," he says. And so all this time we get this thanks coming through. In our Holy Communion service, just as we come to gather around the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, as we gather around the table of the Lord, so that we can be at table together as Christians, as our great place where we gather together as Christians around the table of the Lord, the prayer that we say is called the prayer of thanksgiving. It's called the prayer of thanksgiving. And so it is we come to celebrate and participate in the Lord's Supper, in sharing the bread and drinking of the wine, in a prayer of thanksgiving. And the minister says, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." And the people say, "It is right to give our thanks and praise." So we come to the table of the Lord thankful. Thankful for all that God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we come to do that, that is what we do. And so we're called to live a life of thankfulness, really, and we live out of thankfulness to God. During our time in Argentina, a young man called Luis Acosta, I got to know him. He lived in the northwest of Argentina, in a place called Tucumán. And when he was in year 11, the whole class of year 12, the final year of secondary college, military came one day and they took them all out of class. They put them in trucks and they were never seen again. And this profoundly influenced, you can imagine, Luis's life and others who were in year 11 wondering whether the trucks were coming back for them or what was going to happen. And he began a Bible study with some friends who were Christians, and he came to accept Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. And so I met him in the university group as I travelled around Argentina, got to know him. I used to stay at his parents' place in Tucumán. In fact, he was very generous, a very humble family. And when I needed to stay the first night I was there in Tucumán, he said, "We have a bed for you, Juan." And I said, "Oh, well, that's lovely. Thank you very much." So went, and there he said, "You're sleeping in here." And I was to find out that, in fact, I slept in that bed and he slept on the floor, for it was his bed that he gave to me. I'm thankful to God for Luis. I learnt things, as we all do, don't we, from one another. Then later on, he did surveying. And when he did surveying, he needed somewhere to live when he came to Buenos Aires. So he used to stay at our home. And our two sons are quite good soccer players, thanks to Luis staying in our home. It's the Argentine passion soccer. And he stayed in our home. When he got a job as a surveyor, the only job he could get was with the military. And he struggled with this desperately because he knew what happened in the military. And he didn't know that he could survive. And he was a dark-skinned, you know, peasant from the country. That's the way it works, sadly. And all the generals and leaders were all fair-skinned in the military. And so he was very concerned. Didn't know what to do. Anyway, in the end, he accepted this job as a surveyor. Not long after he accepted the job, he was out towards the Andes doing work with the military. And the dictator at the time, a man called General Galtieri, decided that the Falkland Islands belonged to Argentina. And so he sent a flotilla of ships and soldiers down to the Falkland Islands and planted the Argentine flag and declared that they were now Argentine. Seems the only mistake he made was that there was a lady called Margaret Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister of England at the time, the so-called Iron Lady, and Margie wasn't having any of this. And so there was a war between Argentina and Great Britain at the time, England. And there were lots of signs around as we went round. Gailen was a teacher, and she'd drive to teach at her Spanish school, and there'd be big 1 metre by 2 metre vertical posters that said, death to the English pirates, with bullet holes through Union Jacks and blood dripping down the side. And it was a very difficult time. And in all of this, there were, tensions were very high. Men would stand on street corners, and they used to sing a little ditty that went, sort of the English version of it would be, "He who does not skip is an Englishman. He who does not skip is an Englishman." If you didn't skip, then you got beaten up on the street corners. So nationalism and patriotism, I find difficult, but I've seen the worst of it. And it was a difficult time. Luis was away, and we received a letter probably about 10 days into the conflict, when already people were dying. And the letter from Luis said, dear Juan and Gaylene, I just want to thank you for your love. And I'm sorry that my country is doing this. I pray that you're safe. And I'm sorry I'm not with you. Sorry I'm not with you. And it was a beautiful letter. Moreover, if that letter had been intercepted, and much of our mail was open, I was followed by the secret police during these years of the dictatorship, Luis would have been killed. But he took the risk of love and of thankfulness, you see, to put in writing. In case something happened, he wanted us to know. That's what thankfulness does. Isn't it beautiful? That's what thankfulness does. It takes risks. It takes risks to express love, to express gratitude, to say, "I'm praying for you. I wish I was with you. I can't be." He couldn't leave the military camp where he was, let alone to visit somebody who had a Union Jack on their flag. So these are things where we grew up and learning about thankfulness and learning about courage and learning about loyalty and friendship and prayer and depending and trusting God, because against the Australian Embassy's advice, we stayed in Argentina, for I'd just been called to be the national advisor to the university student work. And I knew if I left at that time, it would just be a terrible thing for them all to leave them when there was this war going on. And so we stayed during that time. These are great things of thankfulness. And the final little story, we had a service in our little church. We helped with a church plant, and we had a mission Sunday like this, where we took a collection for the mission work in the north of Argentina, where the Anglican Church was doing some wonderful work in aid and development with the indigenous communities who were really persecuted and so forth. And there was the Christians trying to help. And Luis, in fact, ended up spending a lot of his life up. He went back up there and as a surveyor, surveying land and finding land that hadn't been taken formally by the Spanish conquistadores and so forth, and reclaiming it for the indigenous communities. And so that's sort of part of his wonderful story. But as we were doing this, I noticed that the collection plate came around, and I wasn't ordained at the time, and I was sort of out the front, a bit like Reese leading the service, and one of the collection plates came back, and it had a big book on it. And I thought, oh, that's sort of strange. It was sort of a very old book, you know. And so I said, you know, where does the book come from? You know, am I allowed to ask that? And anyway, they pointed at one of the teenagers in the youth group, you see. And so he said, and we said, drew it out from him, you know. He said, well, it's my great-grandfather's. I said, your great-grandfather? He said, it's a stamp album. Oh, I said, so it's your great-grandfather's stamp album. He said, yes. And I said, and you've given it for mission. And he said, yes. He said, I have. And he lived with his grandmother, who was a very devout Christian. And there were lots of issues in the family, but he lived with his grandmother. And so I said to him, I said, did you ask your grandmother? You know, sort of thing. And everybody sort of laughed and everything. And he said, yes. He said, I asked my grandmother. And she questioned me about it. And I said to her that I want to thank God for all that he's done. Isn't that lovely? So I don't know how big the plate is that you're passing around this morning, whether it holds many stamp albums, but but it's beautiful, isn't it? Thankfulness. So we're thankful to God for all he's done for us. We pray that God might continue to bless you, give you thankful hearts, and continue to bless many others, as we've heard from this wonderful mission presentation this morning. Let me just say a quick prayer, and then Gaylene's going to come and speak. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for all that you're doing for us. And Lord, we pray that as Gaylene speaks, you might open our heart to understand other ways in which we can support mission and be at mission ourselves through her example that she'll bring to us. In Christ's name, amen.